Good morning, everyone. Today is Sunday, May 27th, 2018. We welcome you to our roundtable discussion. And our subject today is ancient and modern necromancy, alias mesmerism, and hypnotism denounced. And we'll start this morning with our morning prayer. Florence?
Yes, I'm reading from Mrs. Eddy's message to First Church of Christ Scientists in Denver, page 152 of Miscellaneous Writing. May meekness, mercy, and love dwell forever in the hearts of those who worship in this tabernacle. Then will they receive the heritage that God has prepared for his people, made ready for the pure in affection, the meek in spirit, the worshiper in truth, the follower of good.
Thank you. Miscellaneous Writings, Mary Baker Eddy. We today in this classroom are enough to convert the world if we are of one mind, for then the whole world will feel the influence of this mind, as when the earth was without form, and mind spake, and form appeared. Okay, I didn't mention that we are recording from the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent, Plainfield, New Jersey, the United States of America. Our golden text today is Proverbs 11. Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not go unpunished. And Bruce, you wrote about that. Do you want to mention anything?
About how evil, whatever's on God's back, always comes to light?
Yes.
There is always a way, and it always happens. And that's the one certain thing about anything that's ungodlike. It does get exposed. Who knows when or how, but it most certainly does happen. And this is something to be very encouraged by, something to embrace, not something to fear. But it's actually for the salvation of us all. It's the operation of divine love, actually.
Thank you. Several of these verses in the golden text included and in responsive reading were verses we used during the time we were under the trial. And we still use them now. They're good in your watches. And that is certainly one. We have learned that evil cannot what?
It can hide.
Can hide.
Cannot prosper.
Harm one iota of good.
That's true, yes. Cannot harm one iota of good.
It cannot mingle with good either.
No, it cannot. So these are important things to understand. It goes on that he disappointeth, meaning God, the devices of the crafty so that their hands cannot perform their enterprise. He taketh the wise in their own craftiness, and the counsel of the forward heart is carried headlong. So, this is something you need to be knowing just daily, on a daily basis. That all error can do is destroy itself. It cannot organize. Because how could it if it's not of God?
I appreciate very much what Florence just said. It cannot mingle with good. Isn't that what it would try to do, the subtlety of it? It sees something that really is genuinely good and then wants to stand right next to it, as if to put on a good face, so to speak, and try to get its foot in the door.
Absolutely.
Can't happen.
It tries to hide itself. What is the name of the chapter in Science and Health that deals with this?
Animal magnetism unmasked.
Yes, animal magnetism unmasked. And what does unmasked mean?
Trip its disguise off. Trip it off.
Yes. Now, I have so much to cover today that I pray we'll get to it all, but on Thursday, a few of us here went to Boston years we pass by the cement center. And I will let, well, after we passed by it, because it was such a mess there, we couldn't even begin to park. We went to the Longyear Museum, and when we got out of the car, the expressions on some of the people's faces was one of, we're not easily shocked, but it was one of shock and horror. So, Carol?
The trip dwarfed. It was just incredible. It was as though materialism was overpowering good and trying to wipe it out. And it was just the most horrible sight that we've ever seen. It was unbelievable.
They didn't even recognize the church. But they didn't know it till they went. We went by the second time. They weren't in the same car with Gary and I. They have these huge, huge buildings now. The as we've talked about, the hotel, a condominium, on this small area of land. They're just cramming in. And when we got to the Longyear, they said, someone told me this, it's hard for me to believe, but one of those buildings is going to be the tallest building in Boston. They've already got John Hancock, which is pretty big. And then along with that, so it's all crammed up, all this construction, the whole plaza itself was all under construction. And do you remember why?
Because it's sinking?
Yes, because it's sinking. I tried to look up and find some information about what's going on there, if they're still holding services in the extension, but I couldn't. Maybe someone else can, but anyway, because it didn't even look like you could walk across into the front door. It was so much construction.
And it was
awful. Where is all the money coming from to do all that building? It's incredible.
It's
coming
incredible.
From the branch churches that are closing.
Yes.
And sending their money to Boston after they close and sell their church.
When years ago, when I went to college in Boston, and I went to the Mother Church Sunday School, and I would walk there with friends, you could see the dome miles away. It was beautiful. Now, half of it was all covered, too. I call it with Saran wrap. It had those plastic tarps all over it. So it was shocking. And I'm only telling you this to keep you informed. For no other reason. Maybe some of you don't care. I know a lot of people, and I agree, it's not there. Christian Science isn't in a building, of course. But I think it's important that you know what's going on. So then when we got to Longyear, and which is the museum for Mary Baker Eddy, and they do much good. It's too bad they don't own the cement center. It probably would be in much better shape than it is. Anyway, I said, you know, wow, a mess there with all this keeping the church from sinking. And in two instances, in one instance, she was the president of Longyear. Oh, it's not sinking. What do you mean? It's not sinking. They're doing environmental work. They're making it so you can collect rainwater. It was all we could do not to laugh. Right?
It was absurd. It was absurd. The excuses that are coming out of Boston as to why they're having to dig up the ground all around the church building itself for some stupid environmental reason? Come on.
And the thing is that everyone's buying it. I mean, these people at Longyear were buying it, not questioning it, and assuming eventually it's going to look really nice. Well, how could it possibly look nice when all these huge buildings are towering over it? So I doubt we'll ever be back that way again. But I have a dear friend who I hear from very infrequently, but very often she calls me when I've visited the church center, and she said, and she does a lot of researching, that Mrs. Eddy knew about the extension, that it wouldn't survive, and as we know, she never went in it. She looked at it once. The original is built on concrete, is my understanding. And so we pray that will remain. But And the reason, partly I'm bringing this out, there's a lot of reasons, this lesson on animal magnetism, I mean, to me, this is a clear example of it, of people talk about having the wool pulled over their eyes. And also, Linda made the comment, and it's very true, that our magazine out this week, it came out on New Age, and a lot of what's in this lesson addresses New Age. So all of these things are not coincidences. So anyway, we went on. We went to Chestnut Hill, and we had a two-hour tour by this woman who was actually the president of Longyear. We didn't know this when she was giving us the tour, but she was thankfully very knowledgeable, and she knew a lot. And I don't doubt her sincere love for Mrs. Eddy, even though she was the one who said the church isn't thinking they're doing environmental work. Anyway, so, but one thing she said, which she said many things that were very interesting, and a few things that I had never heard. And one thing she said was the original title of the chapter, Animal Magnetism Unmasked, was just Animal Magnetism. And later she made it Animal Magnetism Unmasked. And as Florence said, stripped bare, revealed. When it is out in the open, it cannot operate. And this is our prayer and intent of this hour we have together, that we are going to strip its intent bare. She also said that the chapter on spiritualism at one point was Christian Science and Spiritualism. And she changed it to what?
Verses.
Yes. And what does verses mean?
We're going to war.
The opposite of.
Right. Contrasting it with the opposite.
Yeah.
So she made these seemingly minor changes to the titles, but they were not minor, were they? No, they were not minor. And I was grateful we named this issue of The Liberator, Christian Science versus New Age, in opposition of it. So, any comments so far? Anybody here that wants to add anything?
So as to eliminate any potential misunderstanding that there might be any relationship or similarity between Christian Science and New Age. Because there are a lot of people who are confused who think that there are similarities between Christian Science and New Age. There are people who think there are similarities between Christian Science and hypnotism.
The only possible way is that they've taken some of stuff out of science and health out of context and put it in whatever they've used, and that's the only similarity, because they've basically stolen bits and pieces out of science and health.
Right, and they've humanized it.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but it worships the human mind.
Now, one good thing we found out was all the furniture that was in Chestnut Hill that the BOD took when they sold it to Longyear, they have returned it, including paintings and everything. So it is now being stored at Longyear and will eventually be placed back in her home in Chestnut Hill. But we also found out one of the reasons that they sold, the BOD sold it to Longyear in around 1950, I think she said, because they didn't want to be bothered with fixing it up, as they did not want to be bothered in maintaining and fixing up Pleasant View. So, of course, that was destroyed. You can be darn sure if the BOD had kept Chestnut Hill, that's what would have happened. It would have either been destroyed or it would have been sold. Someone else would be living there now. But thank God Longyear did get it, because there is value in this. At least I find value in it. And to see it now, if you go, you have to make an appointment. It's pretty much empty, except for a few rooms that they have restored. It's going to be very, very costly to do this. It's in a raw. I call it raw, because a lot of some of the wallpaper and the carpets and things are the original. It's all going to be changed and replaced. But to see the rooms where the workers worked, you know, Martha Wilcox, Adam Dickey, Tomlinson, it's all there on the third floor. You never used to go up or able to go up in that room. She said the difference when the BOD owned it, the only rooms you saw were the rooms Mrs. Eddy was in. They didn't care about the early workers. Now that Longyear has it, it's going to be all open and all restored.
Well, just like they suppress the early workers' writings.
That's correct. That's absolutely right, Fairley. They probably don't want anyone asking any questions, or they didn't. So, but I honestly feel that eventually, and who knows how long this will take when it's finally done, they're going to figure out a way to get it back into their clutches, all of it. That's what I think. I don't trust it. But in the meantime, there were things we learned there. And one thing was interesting, that there are many things, but she said, and this is how she ended the tour, she said that they were considered the old guard and the new guard. The old guard was Calvin Frye, probably Martha Wilcox, the originals. The new guard was, she mentioned, Adam Dickey, William Rathbone. Yeah. And so the new guard complained that whenever they had a question, anything that they had to consider, they always thought of Mrs. Eddy and the church. While all that Calvin Frye and the old guard thought about was, what do you think?
God.
Well, it was Mrs. Eddy.
Mrs. Eddy.
And this woman said that Mrs. Eddy and the church are one and the same. So their way of thinking of things was ultimately right. So you see, the changes already occurred then and there. And I was grateful she was aware of it. But again, yes, and ultimately it is God's church. But we know, of course, that Mrs. Eddy was so close to him, and she prayed and never made a move without his guidance.
But Calvin Frye knew that whatever would be good for Mrs. Eddy would also be good for the church. Whereas there were those in the new guard who thought there might be some difference.
Uh-oh.
Interesting thing is that Calvin Frye actually challenged her on some issues, but found out then that he was wrong, so he knew by experience that she was always right when she finally made the decision. And as far as where the money comes from, the whole BOD now is a real estate corporation. It's not a Christian Science entity anymore, and that's all they're interested in. That's why it's all built up.
Thank you.
It's all about real estate.
Yes,
and then,
certainly what it looks like. Yes, this she said, and I remember reading this too. When Calvin Frye would disagree with her, she'd say, "All right, now Calvin, you'll do as I say," and he would. And he. It was after Asa Gilbert Eddy passed on, and Asa Gilbert Eddy had seen Calvin Frye and said, "He's the one you need working in your home." So it was after he passed on that she contacted him. His mother had been healed of insanity through Christian Science. And does anyone know what she said about him, why she picked him?
Is he really honest?
Yes.
He would obey all the commandments.
Yes. That Calvin Frye would never disobey any one of the commandments. And think of that. go through the commandments yourself, and have you ever disobeyed them, or would you? Coveting, killing, stealing, committing adultery, having another God before the one God. That was quite a testimony to Calvin Fry. And she did say at times he was just so burdened with it all that he wanted out. And we know he passed on a few times, and she brought him back, knowing that he couldn't leave her when she needed him. Not, she wasn't working on heart problems. She was working on, couldn't leave her.
He took his diary. I really would like to see that diary.
Well, and we know that some, yeah, we think that, we heard with the Carpenter collection that someone bought it. I don't know whether it was the only diary, but it was one diary. But anyway, he did try at times because he was so overburdened with it, but then he would say, well, who would take care of Mother? And so he didn't. And you could see her room, her suite, and his room and office connected to it.
That was so nice to see. I was so impressed by it.
Go ahead, Florence.
No, I was impressed by it, you know, because I had read the about it, how she would call on him at times, and to see that the room, the proximity of the room, you know, it just made me, my thought was going all kinds of places. Beautifully, though.
It was so touching to see that her room, the suite, how small her room was, and that we understood, and I didn't really fully grasp this, that this whole place was totally transformed.
Mm-hmm.
And it only took
about 3 months.
They had 300 workers, they figured, working day and night to get it done, day and night. And they had to make her whole suite look like Pleasant View, because that's what she loved, in the little tiny bedroom and everything. And then they added all these rooms for all the workers, so they would have a place on the mainly on the third floor. So, anything else?
It's worth a visit, really.
It is worth a visit, because to me, I've said the walls speak to you. They cry out to you. You can feel what went on there. They have the beautiful carriage. That's a long year, but the carriage she drove in, and all the work that was accomplished those last 3 years, including the Christian Science Monitor, as well as many other things. But when I was at Longyear, I thought I was taking the Christian Science Journal, but it looked like the Christian Science Journal. It was a Christian Science Monitor. And I had not seen it in years. And I kind of quickly looked through it. I haven't read it yet. I'm not sure I will. But anyway, afterwards, I was telling Gary my feeling, what it reminded me of. Do you remember the Weekly Reader? The Weekly Reader.
Unfortunately, yes, I do.
Yes. Well, that's what it reminded me of. I don't know how current that is, but years ago, you'd get once a week in elementary school, you'd get something called the Weekly Reader. It was an update on news affairs. Well, this reminded me of the Weekly Reader. But so what we do is so vastly important, and not to mix it with the New Age. And this is what I wanted to give you. This is in the book, and if anyone wants it, we have it. Articles by Bicknell Young. Joanne from Florida gave it to Florence. Florence got it to us. And it's very good. Anyway, listen to this, because the nuances you need to understand between New Age and Christian Science. Every evil circumstance in your life can be prevented. Isn't that marvelous? Nobody is a victim of anything but his ignorance of the laws of life. God never intended we should know old age or any of their related errors we are seeing. God never intended that we have cripples or drunkards or dope fiends. Isn't this wonderful that we need to know this for our country now? And there is no reason in the world why we do, except that we have never learned how to meet them in human belief. We have laws of heredity, all the ills of the fathers visited upon the children. But we must rise higher than that. We can make a beginning by understanding that there is a law of God in operation in individual and collective beings, in us as individuals, as groups, races, and nations. This is a law of God, but we have to begin to bring that law into operation first. By giving up egotistical belief that any kind of thinking we can do is power, or taking a statement and drilling it in, so to speak, will finally make it come true. This may be hard work, but it is not permanent. It is not spiritual, and it leaves something missing in the mentality. First, because it permits others to dominate our thoughts, and then because it takes away from us our realization of the only one real power there is, which is God, whose kingdom is within us, within all. Reciting that 2 times 2 equals 4 won't make it true, though it may help us remember that it is so. An affirmation repeated in thought will help to impress us with the truth that is true. But in doing so, you really give up a good deal of freedom. It would be much better to hear a truth or read a truth and let the truth do the work. Since Jesus said, I am the truth, and truth is a synonym for God. Why let your manipulation of the truth be the agency? Why not let the truth do it alone? The reliance you will build up is the confidence that truth is. So, that's just part of it. You see how it explains it, because so often we just think we say these things over and over and over and it'll make it true. It's not just the repeating of it or the memory of it. It's the realization of it. It's the doing of it. Pauline had an interesting experience. Now, this is all teaching you how to handle animal magnetism. We have a new teleconference phone, right? Or we're getting one.
It's coming in tomorrow.
Okay. Because last week, as you know, we were having difficulties. And most of you, we came through, got through to us. But Colleen, and she gave a testimony about it on Wednesday, she heard sirens. And then she even got a message saying, we're not having the conference today. She got a message, a voice telling her. So she sat and prayed. And then later found out, well, we did have it. But you see, this is how error works. A voice will tell you, you're sick. A voice will tell you, you're poor. A voice will tell you, you're miserable. It can be a very, very authoritative voice. Now, my goodness, this was this teleconference voice. If it didn't know what was going on, who did? Of course you would believe it. Who knows? I might have believed it.
But nope. I heard that voice, too. I know there was a lot of interference, and I did hear some sirens. And then I got disconnected. I call again, and then the voice said, you know, something, whatever. So I waited a few minutes and called back again, and then I got patched through, you know, and then I heard it.
Thank you, Pilar. And that is the difference. So Colleen obediently sat there and prayed. Probably repeating, she said she'd been learning about the 7 steps of handling animal magnetism. Well, repeating them, but that wasn't really the handling of it. What is the difference?
Persistence and telling it you a lie?
Yes. It's the living and putting it into action. We do not give up here. It might have sounded bad, but we were all working, especially Jeremy. I say we. Jeremy. And we were praying. Yes, we were praying. But there's no way this wasn't going to go through. We'd figure out something, and of course Jeremy did. And most of you, many of you who've been with us for a while, understand this. So you would keep persisting It happened, we were having problems Wednesday too. That was partly because some of us weren't here. But you persist. The power of a right idea cannot be stopped. This is animal magnetism that would say it will prevent us from doing this. And this is how you deal with it. But it's not just the repeating of the words. It's putting the words into action. It's knowing it is the truth and letting the truth operate.
We were taught that there were sort of three steps in dealing with animal magnetism. The first is to see what error is trying to do. See that it's at work, trying to do something. Then, know that it has no power to do it. And then the third step is see to it that it doesn't do it.
That's all you need to know.
It's like when I was writing a lesson once and I've gone quite a way. I come to the computer and it's gone. It's gone.
There you go.
But I've learned that the first and most important is to be calm, stay calm. This means to me that when I stay calm, I'm knowing, no, it is God that's here. I can't be fooled. And it's helped me a lot with everything that would be alarming otherwise. Pretty soon, here it is. It hadn't gone anywhere. It was in another file or something. But before, I would panic. Oh, my goodness, I have to do this all over again now, you know, and then it goes on.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Wednesday evening, before the service, I couldn't get my computer to function properly. It was, I don't know, I'd never seen this before. And like Florence in the past, I would have gotten very upset and called my husband and, you know, this can't be happening. But I did what I was taught from this church to do and remained calm and persistent. And the same thing when there was seemed to be difficulties with the, the service going through. The same thing. I knew, again, from this church that this can't be stopped. The Word of God can never be stopped.
Thank you, Janet.
It was definitely proven. It cannot be stopped, ever.
Yes. Now, believe me, Colleen, she testified. She's humble. She learned a wonderful lesson. She's very new here. I'm just using this as an impersonal example of what it would do. And it would seem logical. You get a message saying, hang up, or it's not going on. Just as you get a doctor telling you you're sick and going to die, or there's no way the economy, you're never going to find a good job, or whatever else the voice tells you.
Oh, you have pain? The same thing.
Yes. You're getting old. You've got all kinds of troubles. That's the voice.
It's the Adam dream.
Yes, it is. It is. And this is how you stay out of it. So repeat the steps, Gary.
Step one, see what error is trying to do. Step two, know that it can't be done. Step three, see to it that it is not done.
And as a worker in church, you see you have these opportunities to do it. And that what happened last week was an opportunity. And you can see it clearly how it works. So then you see it in church, and then you begin to see it other places in your life. And you get, you know, the Bible talks about leaping over walls. Well, that's what you do. You end up leaping over these walls because it's always telling you, you can't do that. You don't want to do that. You're too stupid to do this. And you don't listen. You know what it's trying to do, and you make sure it's not done. Now, if you don't do this and you fall under it, then what happens?
Then the buildings get taller and you disappear into the city and nobody knows
where you are. Right. Right. And the world gets more and more evil, and the era gets more and more big, and oh my gosh, and look what it did last week, and look what it did last month. And
the little serpent becomes a big red dragon.
And then you don't want to get out of bed in the morning.
Right, yes.
Yeah, because it gives you reasons, you know, justifications, why you should believe it, and it goes on and on.
On and on it does. Colleen, did you want to? She's here, right? Yeah.
Oh yes. I was so shocked because it seemed so real to me, and it was a very, very good teaching lesson to ask God for what the right idea is here, and to know that that's what's going on, and to ask God to show me what I need to do to, you know, accomplish the goal or whatever. I mean, if I had to do it over, and what I did on Wednesday was when there was a technical difficulty, I went on the computer, I tried YouTube, and then I heard Craig saying that, you know, it was being taken care of and the meeting was going to continue. So this was such a good teaching moment for me because I can see how hypnotism seems really real. And I went down with the lie, so to speak, because I was praying that everyone was healthy and well, and I really needed to pray that how to get on the conference. You know, that was my prayer was misdirected, and so therefore not effective because nobody was hurt, nobody was sick, everyone was fine, and so, and you know, the one that suffered was me because I missed out. I really wanted to be a part of the meeting, you know. So it really taught me you have to ask God and pray for the right thing. You know, you're wasting your time if you're praying for, you know, the wrong thing. So it really taught me to stick with God, to, you know that the power of a right idea cannot be stopped, and just keep trying and persisting.
Thank you very much.
Right now.
And she was ready for that lesson. It was so clear to me, you know, she was so teachable to learn it. She was just standing there ready for that teaching, and it came to her. And I know Pilar, she's overcome, you know, train problems, getting to Plainfield, other things. You become someone who's going to read the watch message, and suddenly all kinds of, Linda's all kinds of hell breaking loose. Or you're a reader, or you write, as Lauren says, you're writing a lesson, all kinds of hell will break loose, and you see what it's trying to do, and then make sure it's not done. Now, Parthen wrote something very excellent. I'd like in one of our liberators, I'll have Gary read a little bit of it, about the workings of animal magnetism.
Yeah, this is from Parthen's on our forum. Joseph Goebbels, Hitler's minister of propaganda, wrote, quote, "It would not be impossible to prove with sufficient repetition and the psychological understanding of the people concerned that a square is in fact a circle. They are mere words, and words can be molded until they clothe ideas and disguise," end quote. This is how the greater part of the population of Germany was led to call good evil and evil good. Repetition is a primary principle of mesmerism. Any thought that I think over and over again becomes a belief. Any belief that I perpetuate will eventually, irresistibly, become a reality to me. This is why the third and last of Mrs. Eddy's daily duties is so important. Alertness to duty. It shall be the duty of every member of this church to defend himself daily against aggressive mental suggestion. Hitler and Goebbels were masters of aggressive suggestion. And one of their most effective and aggressive propaganda tools was repetition. The Apostle Paul, in the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians, speaks of the Antichrist as gaining power through deception and through the deceivableness of his followers. A deceiver is only as strong as the deceivability or suggestibility of his audience. The human mind is suggestible, and this is why it is so important to put off the human mind and put on the mind of Christ.
That was excellent to see the workings And you see, when you are in this human mind, that's how it reaches you. When you're feeling lustful or anxious or hateful, or it finds a way to start its repetition. And think about it. How many times do you wake up and that, oh, I've got a pain. You think about it. I've got a pain. I've got a pain. You repeat it in your head over and over and over. You send the pains all over the place. But this, too, see the difference between this repetition and what Christian Science is, which is the revelation of truth. Some of the stating the truth is good and helpful, but if that's all you do, then it isn't. And it's no more effective as saying your rosary beads. You've got to get where you're understanding the truth and living the truth. And very often, if I have a problem, I will go to the alertness to duty. Because whatever the problem is, would try to make me forget and neglect my duty to God, leader, mankind. When I see that, see it clearly, it goes. How it works. And we are unmasking it. We are stripping it bare. Ha, 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 ha.
Wonderful.
Yes, it can no longer make this secret, because esoteric, in no instance is the effect of animal magnetism, recently called hypnotism, other than the effect of illusion. Any seeming benefit derived from it is proportionable to one's faith in esoteric magic, which is private and hidden magic. So, you see, once you get into New Age and you start believing these things, you can be used for what Bignell Young calls it, putty in the hands of schemers. So this is why our magazine, and this is why it's so important you understand it. And it is definitely all in this lesson. And I love, in the lesson, it says that the definition of Christ, the divine manifestation of God which comes through the flesh to destroy incarnate or fleshly error. In the Bible, it says, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. You see how Mrs. Eddy takes something from the Bible and puts it into science and health, the definition of Christ. The Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil, and that is to strip bare the operation of it. And Gary wrote about the way of the unrighteous, right? So what do you want to say?
Yeah, she says, or it says, that the way of the unrighteous shall perish. It doesn't say that the righteous shall perish, or the unrighteous shall perish, or
the
ungodly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't say the ungodly shall perish, but it says that the way shall perish. And it's the way of the ungodly that makes them appear to be ungodly. It's the envy, it's the jealousy, it's the personal sense, it's the lust, you know, the revenge. All of that stuff is what is ungodly. And when the way of the ungodly perishes, the ungodly are no longer ungodly. They become righteous when they see the right way and act the right way. And that is how Christian Science heals, by getting rid of the what is effectively a mistake, an error. So evil, one of the important distinguishing features of Christian Science is the fact that it declares evil is not personal. There's no such thing as an evil person.
But you see, when you indulge in those ways, you become in that Adam dream, and you are not handling anything, and you become, things go from terrible to horrific, as we saw in the cement center. Jesus. Thank you. The other article, it's been on our carousel, and it is superb. You all should read it. It's Carpenter and Mary Baker Eddy, her spiritual precept, The Fruit of Right Thinking. And in it, he says a lot, but in science, we must not only seek to obtain, we must not seek to obtain that which we have not demonstrated, but we must not even cherish a desire for it. One who is sick should not even want to recover unless the health and harmony that comes is the result of the demonstration or thought correction that entitles him to get well. It breaks a moral precept for a student to desire that which he does not deserve. And he does not deserve that which he has not demonstrated or cannot pay for. He talks about going into debt. People that go into debt, what is that? You can't afford something, so what?
Charge it.
You charge it.
You borrow.
Christian scientists who want healing, but who don't give a hoot about what it takes to get that healing, the thought process, what it requires, they end up going into debt, and they might get help from a practitioner, and they might get healed. And it might go on for a few times, but eventually they are so badly in debt that they can't ring that bell anymore and have results. You are required to grow. And living this and seeking this truth because you want it more than anything else, you want it more than you want your big toe to be healed, is what this requires. This is just a wonderful article. He goes in it so easily and so clearly, I should say. Students should not wait until they are sick before they go to work to clean up the mental debris, which we've just talked about, which carelessness permits to accumulate in thought. That means getting out of debt in the mental realm. When Mrs. Eddy says, do not get in debt, she might add, do not owe God, let him owe you. Lay up treasures in heaven. In other words, work in such a way that God owes you. Be faithful. Then when you are in need, you will have a balance in his bank to draw on. It is true that science shows health to be a gift of God, yet it is bought with a price, which is the willingness to stand porter at the door of thought. We deserve health when we have done this work successfully and have permitted nothing of an alien nature to invade consciousness.
Otherwise, we don't deserve health. Think about it.
Thich Nhat Hanh says health is the eternal state of spiritual being. He goes on, the Bible warns us not to covet. What one's neighbor has in science is the manifestation of his demonstration. A similar supply will be yours when you make a similar demonstration. You break the commandment, however, when you covet, since that means that you not only desire the manifestation without making the demonstration, but that you would be willing to have it and thus run into debt to God. To covet means to be willing to have God's rewards without making the effort to deserve them. When one envies another in science, he is not envying him his right thinking, but the fruitage of it. Students do not envy the method another has used to gain right results, since that method is open to all. They only envy the results.
Walking my shoes, I guess.
Yes. Walk. Yeah, you have no idea what it what the person went through to achieve the point they are. You only envy what you see, what you think you perceive with your eyes and ears. So this is an extremely important point. Dear Mr. Carpenter, and he worked in Mrs. Eddy's home for 1 year.
And took copious notes. And 25 years later wrote his book. Because he knew books. He knew that the correct understanding of Mrs. Eddy's life was essential to understanding Christian Science.
Yes, and so it is.
And it hadn't been written yet.
Now, today I'm going to have Judy. Judy found something in the Bignell Young Collected Writings book that most of us have, and it was in Christian Science Practice. So go ahead, Judy.
You've taken on a tremendous job when you became a Christian Scientist. You have virtually aligned yourself with God. You say to God, I am with you forevermore. I stand with you as your child. I promise you my alliance. I give to you all the intelligence you give to me. I ascribe to you all the power I am able to express. I praise you in all the glory I am able to manifest. I place my country and its government in your hands. Eliminate from its government human greed and all its selfishness, and those elements that are vicious and weak. I maintain and establish by the power and presence of God, the real government of divine principle, the divine government.
Thank you.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Very good.
Thank you all for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.